This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
We just got back last night from Banff.
Banff. I love Banff.
Oh, I love just, a good double F.
I know, and just the way it's spelled always makes me think I'm talking about a planet on Star Wars or something.
Right? You know,
just, anyway, yeah. I'd never been there, and it's amazing. It's absolutely gorgeous. Have either of you been?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love Banff.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, is Banff near Whistler?
No, Whistler's in Colorado.
No, Whistler's in Vancouver. Where is Banff?
Banff is near, closer Alberta. To Calgary side.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha, yeah. Gotcha.
You fly into Calgary.
Yeah.
Which, Will, you and I had been to Calgary, which I totally forgot until I got there.
Yes,
I
was like, we have,
here.
Yeah.
My first convention was with Will here. Anyway, drove into the mountains of Banff, had the most amazing, like, I just am such a mountain person, and my son, it turns out, is even more of a mountain person than me.
Wow.
He has decided... We have to live in Canada. We have to move to Banff. He's like, he won't let this go. And I don't know why, because it was gorgeous and we were taking hikes and it's like a winter wonderland. You know, yeah. It's just like, it's just, if you painted this, it wouldn't be as beautiful. I mean, it's just like, you're just walking through these like in giant piles of snow and the trees are dropping their, because it's spring, so the trees are dropping little snow, so it's like diamonds glittering in the air everywhere you look.
Wow.
And there's just mountains surrounding you. Anyway, so we had all these big plans. We were only there for 5 days, but we were gonna go snowboarding and skiing and sledding. And Indy, of course, wanted to build a snowman, which always ends up being harder than anybody thinks, especially Californians.
I know. Why is that so hard?
Because you didn't grow up doing it. You guys don't have it down.
I guess not, man. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
It is so much work. And trying to get a circle out of snow is just
Such okay. a West Coast thing to say. East Coasters, snowmen like that. Like that.
Not me.
Like that.
Not me. I'm with you, Ryder. Okay, go on.
Do you have like a snowman mold?
No, you don't need it. You just, no, it's forward two, side two, forward two, side two. You do that till you get the big one, forward two, side two for the little one. It's super simple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's,
oh, yeah. You really do sound like you really. Okay. Next time we'll walk somewhere. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So, you know, Indy's like obsessed with like moving to Canada and living in Banff. And I'm like, this is cool and this is fun. And you know, Indy's not really an outdoor kid. He's very much like an indoor kid. And so seeing him like active in the outdoors and loving it was like a big moment. And we're sledding down this hill and I'm starting to finally get our snowman together, and he and my wife are sledding, and there are these jumps, like these little humps that people have, you know, because it's like a hill where people have been sledding before. And I tried to hit one of them and I couldn't. I just kind of like putzed off the side of the jump and I was like, eh, whatever. But so I look up and my wife and my son are trying to hit this jump, taking turns on the sled, and I'm building the snowman. I'm really focused on trying to make my like a good face. But I'm also just having this moment. I'm like, wow, we are so happy right now as a family. And it's like, oh, we've come so far from our road trip last summer, which we were at each other's throats. And like, you know, and a lot of that was because we were like, Indy, get outside, get in the raft. We're going swimming now, you know, whatever. And this time we were just like, you know what, dude, if you want to just hang out. But instead he, you know, really wanted to be out in the snow.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, wow, maybe we really should go somewhere like in the mountains for a living. Like this is just brings out the best in us. And we're all so happy. And I see Indy's got my wife's phone up and he's filming her. And luckily he was filming in slow motion as she soars off this jump.
Majestically.
Wow.
Five feet in the air, just gloriously right towards Indy. And then I watch as she slams on her back, like her upper back. Like, I mean, I think this hit, it actually probably would have been worse if she hit her butt. Because then you have the risk of like compression.
Yeah.
But apparently you're not supposed to jump with sleds. Like these jumps were probably made for snowboarders.
Right.
My wife broke her back. And we have it on video, which the doctors were very appreciative of because it was glorious slow motion and Indy shot it very well. It's a fracture, so it's not super, but I knew it immediately. I ran. And she just, you know, fell out of the sled on the ground. And that was the rest of our trip, guys. We spent the rest of the time in the hospital, x-rays. But you know what? We came back. We're still pretty positive about Banff. And we're still pretty positive about Canada. And
so positive about sledding.
Yeah, sledding. Oh, man. But, you know, it's also
what
just
what kind
like,
of sled was it? I'm sorry. I'm curious. What,
oh, just
what
a cheap
type of
little
sled
plastic. You know,
like a plastic, like little tub kind of thing, like one of those little. Gotcha. Okay.
It wasn't like the shield kind. It was shaped like a toboggan,
and it wasn't a tube. It wasn't any of that.
No.
It was.
I mean, I guess if you were in a wooden one, maybe it can absorb some of that. But this was just like her back slammed, it's a fracture, so it's not like. And you know, if she has to get more tests and stuff because they were just doing emergency. Like we were in the emergency room, and she was there for 8 hours, and finally getting results. It was on Easter too. Good times, guys. You know, it just reminded me also, we're in our 40s. This is what happens. Because, like, this is what you do in your 40s. You try and keep up with your kids. You go sledding. You go rollerblading. You try biking. You whatever. And you break something. And it's like a little reminder of, like, right, this is what our bodies do now.
I also think it's just all about nature. I think nature is beautiful and amazing and then breaks your back.
Well,
that's nature.
I'll tell you now, this is the second down. Like, I loved Banff. I went camping there. It was just like, wow, this is the most gorgeous place I've ever seen. You know, this place might make me a camper. And then we spent the first night there. It was glorious. Woke up the next morning and I had a bite on my thigh that was the size of my fist. And
who
were
you camping with?
1,000 degrees. And as I continued to walk throughout the day, my leg became numb and I had to basically carry it around. I also ended up in the emergency room for
spider bite.
I had been bit by a poisonous spider.
Oh.
And anyone who knows me knows that spiders
Your favorite thing?
My no-go. I was literally like, well, guess what? Guess what, guys? That was a one night Danielle's a camper thing, and now we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, no. That's so rare. I mean, that is really rare. That is
so
weird.
Yeah. But anyway, that also happened in Banff. So maybe Banff is just trying to kill us.
Mm. Yeah. So you don't pick up spiders and take them outside then?
No.
No. Okay. Just curious.
I'll just call you if you want to do it. You have to just be here in 30 seconds.
Because I hate mosquitoes more than spiders, and the spiders keep the mosquitoes in check. So I always like, hey, thank you very much.
I just don't have mosquitoes in my house.
In the house. They're outside, too. It helps keep everything down.
Okay. There's plenty out there. There's plenty of spiders out there. I don't kill you if you're out in the wild, but if you come into my territory,
into my space.
It's fair game.
But you never saw the spider that bit you on the leg. You never saw
it. Stand your ground law.
What is it? Your castle? Is that what it is? Is that something like that? Yeah.
Nice. Castle doctrine.
Castle doctrine. That's what it is. It's the spider castle doctrine.
Welcome to Pod Meets World. I'm Danielle Fischel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right. And that's why I'm sending mine farm fresh flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
Welcome to this episode. Today, we are recapping episode 416, season 4, episode 16, A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, part 1. It originally aired February 7th, 1997. The synopsis, when Eric sees Sean kiss Topanga, I'll say it here. on the cheek.
Yeah, they tried Chubby's. To shoot it away. We'll get into it, but they tried to shoot it away.
He relays the upsetting news to Corey. And although the kiss was innocent, Topanga has much bigger news to break to Corey. It was directed by Jeff McCracken. It was written by Matthew Nelson. And there are no guest stars. So,
oh, yeah. Right. Wow, there aren't, are there?
No guest stars in this
episode.
Saving
money for the next one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a bit of a bottle episode.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but also for the guest star next one, because it doesn't Olivia Hussey show up? Or
She sure does.
Yeah.
Right.
So, she was a overall thoughts?
I'll start if you want. I liked it. I liked that it sets up the next episode, obviously. I thought for the first time in a while, myself especially, I didn't think the acting in this episode at the beginning was particularly good.
Oh.
I thought I was very high school stage performance for me for a lot of this. I thought I was over the top at times, trying to seem like there was depth behind it at times. It was
totally with you, Will. I'm not, I mean, yeah.
No,
I'm not gonna,
it was,
I'm
no.
totally with you. Like, You know, I love you as an actor.
I agree.
But
it was not a good performance.
I don't know if it's your fault. I don't think it's your fault because I think it's, I mean, it's partly your fault.
Yeah, you did it. I mean, I was the one who did it.
There's no other way around it, really.
I had such the same feeling. And I think it's just a tonally very weird beginning. Like, I think those first four scenes are so weird. And it was hard for me to sort of like just feel comfortable, like locate where we are.
I agree.
And that
but even
just
that first moment where I walk down the stairs and I see you guys, even my reaction is just bad. It's just bad.
Well, there's also
it's weird. I'm just
no
off this week.
Sound.
Yeah.
No
I'm just
one
off
says anything.
I know. Yeah. I know.
It's well, a silent movie.
Well, we'll get into it. Well, I have theories. I think I know why. Like, I don't think it's all your fault, but I felt the same thing. I was like, there's something off about the acting. And
yes,
and,
you
know,
there was.
And me, I'm barely in the episode, but I also felt weird. Like, I don't know. The whole thing.
It felt very high school play to me. This is how I would say it. It was. But again, it was also, I love the story. I think it's a great idea. It's a great throw it in there in the middle. It's also kind of, it's taken us four seasons, but this is kind of the start of the Corey and Topanga storyline in a lot of ways.
Right.
I appreciate the value of where this episode ranks among importance in Boy Meets World lore, but the first episode, hopefully the acting gets better, at least for me. I'll speak for myself in the second episode.
Yeah, I thought it felt pretty melodramatic. And again, I think a large part of it for me is the fact that I would have felt the bombshell of Topanga moving more if I felt like they spent really any time developing the Corey and Topanga relationship.
Yep.
But I don't. I feel like we've barely seen them. I know they're in a relationship. I know they've been in a consistent relationship now for many episodes, but we have had approximately zero episodes about them and their relationship.
It's interesting to think like how many episodes have developed the Sean Corey relationship just because they've been in situations together, whereas Topanga and Corey have never been in a situation together outside of, well, the hair today, goon tomorrow, which was probably one of the best.
Right.
Like whenever they did give an opportunity for the two of you to be in a thing together, it works, you know?
Yeah.
But also you're often against each other in those situations. Like the storyline is like antagonistic. So you haven't had like you and Corey. Yeah. Corey and Topanga.
Corey and Topanga as a team doing something farcical or something.
No,
anything,
she's always,
nothing.
Yeah. Cause it's always like, he's ruining her babysitting. Mm-hmm. Her haircut is ruining his life. Or, you know, it's like it's always against each other.
They're never a team.
They meet each other in when she's pretending to be French. Right. That's a bummer. Yeah.
I wish there had been just one episode, maybe the episode right before this, where we saw them just loving
hanging
life
out
together, having so much fun, seeing the way they complement each other, not like, wow, you're so cute, but like actually personality wise complement each other and being like, wow, they really do have something special to help
that
set
you were
up
rooting for them the same way you're rooting for Corey and Sean or, it's just being told.
So that bothered me a little bit because I wanted to really feel the gravity of, oh my gosh, this is going to change everything. But I didn't feel it as much as I felt like we were being told to feel it. I will tell you one thing I absolutely loved, though. I do love in this episode how much Eric is happily taking on the I want to protect my little brother.
Yeah.
I love my little brother. I'm there for my little brother.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for him. I liked that underlying thread of their relationship being solid and important. There are some weird, like that opening scene, well, not the opening scene, but the scene in the living room where he pushes you. There's no laugh there. There's some weird choices where they didn't help. They didn't help the situation any. And maybe they didn't want to laugh. Maybe Michael wanted it to be an intense, how'd you do this to me, brother? Push him back. And it's not supposed to be funny, but it needed a laugh.
Mission
that's
accomplished.
Exactly what I was going to bring up.
That's
where I don't think it's Will's acting. I think it's just the tonal choices. The actual writing does actually, it allows for there to be comedy in this initial three scenes or whatever. But the way they're played is like Will, I think what you're feeling is that, you know, you're playing drama and Corey's playing drama and I'm somewhat playing drama. And it's like, it's a choice, you know, that was like, I think the whole episode and all of us made. And I have so many thoughts about this episode. I kind of like went crazy writing a bunch of notes last night. I had to pause it but I don't know if it's worth it.
Listen, Ryder, I think it's always
I went down a Romeo and Juliet rabbit hole. Even before it was introduced, I was like, so I think that there's a lot of power in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I think that this episode is the beginning of a new era in the show. And it felt very familiar to me. Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, it's one of those things that defines Boy Meets World. And I felt the moment it hit me. And we'll get to it when I hit this. And I had to like pause the episode and just take a bunch of notes and think about it for a while. It was like, what was happening in this moment? And I think it's sort of, this is like kind of a branch of Boy Meets World. You know, like this moment changes the show. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, especially for like, I imagine if you were 11 or 12 watching this and you're thinking this is what teenagers are, you know, act like. This could have been a really cool, profound, beautiful thing, you know, like where you're just like, the doomed love, because doomed love is so exciting and fun. And like, I just,
it's so
sexy. It must have been very emotional. Yeah, sexy. And I think to see, you know, I don't know, Corey as a romantic lead. And like, I think all of this would have probably been really cool for a certain mindset. As an adult, now I look at it and I have so many criticisms and I have so many issues with the sort of the worldview that the storytelling creates. But, you know, and I want to talk about that because I think I can, you know, like I said, I kind of went down this rabbit hole. It's hard to judge because I know how important this episode is.
Yeah.
You could also play a little devil's advocate that there's actually, I'm not sure I agree with this, but I could see this point of view that it's actually very good writing that you get this much of an emotional base out of a relationship you haven't developed at all. So it's like, but like, you know what I mean? It's like you're telling the kids what to feel, but by the end of these two episodes, Corey and Topanga have been together since they were 5 years old and we're in.
And they are destined.
So there's something to that where it's
like, that's what I think. Yeah. It's we're sort of like building the biblical basis of Boy Meets World. You know, it's like, we've been teasing it a lot. We've been teasing like Corey and Topanga are like meant for each other. But here it's like, we're getting into like the real, it's actually built into the fabric of the reality. And we actually say like, what kind of TV show is this? It's like built into the reality that the show is built it's like being like pounded in. And now it's the foundational element of the show. And for better or worse. You know, like personally, I think I liked it at the time. I think as a melodramatic teenager, I loved all this stuff and I related to it. Now I look back on it and I go, you know, with all the things we've talked about with Corey and you know, the sort of self-righteousness and, you know, it's intense. It's really intense. But I think that boldness is also kind of cool. So,
I know.
You know, and I think that boldness might be why a lot of people are listening to this podcast right now. Right.
Right.
Is because they were affected by this bold choice that this show made, and that it, you know, it because like Wonder Years, right, is the the comp, I guess. And everybody talks about Winnie and Kevin. Does anybody even, they don't end up together, right? It's just kind of like.
The last line is something like, she was, and I was with my wife when I went and picked her husband up at the train station or something like that. Right. To let you know they didn't end up together. Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's
my mom being like, no, they should have ended up together.
Yeah. Right. And I think that that was the sort of model is that you're, you know, this, the coming of age story is about young love and young broken heart and how you grow up and it actually doesn't matter. And Boy Meets World leans so heavily into just subverting that and to saying, no, guess what?
What if it does work out?
What if it does work? What if we are meant to beat it and we're going to, you know, and that's
right. What if we're just not working
such a
hard
bold
enough?
Move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also Romeo and Juliet again. And other than the fact that it's they're young and in love, it really has nothing to do with Romeo and Juliet. That's the other thing. I mean, their families don't.
I
know their families don't hate each other. They're not star-crossed lovers.
I took two pages of notes on Romeo and Juliet and then saw that it actually got introduced in the story because I'd completely forgotten that. And then I was like, oh. Maybe this is too on the nose for me to talk too much about Romeo and Juliet, but it was so frustrating.
Of course.
We will get into it all. So we start in Chubby's. A long-haired Eric walks into a very busy Chubby's and sees, in the back room, Sean giving a visibly distressed Topanga a big hug. Eric continues to watch the interaction. Sean squeezes Topanga's arms.
This is the weirdest cold open ever.
It is the weirdest.
It's a silent movie.
You also see Topanga is clearly upset.
Yeah.
So, yes. Why would Eric ever think anything
romantic?
And right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's like, so this is where I started to think.
Devil's advocate. Yeah. Topanga's upset because something just happened between her and Sean. And now she's going to have to tell Corey.
Would she take a hug and a kiss from him after that?
Maybe she wants to be with Sean. So Topanga's upset because I'm going to have to break Corey's heart. We're meant to be. And so because I did think that because I thought the same thing, like, oh my gosh, Topanga's obviously upset. Isn't Eric worried about, well, I wonder what's going on with Topanga?
Yes.
But then I thought, well, if Topanga's upset because they're discussing how are we going to break this news to Corey?
The alternative opening half of this episode could have been a series of misunderstandings and hijinks that were very funny.
Yep. Where exactly.
Eric sees something, sneaks around, tells somebody, you know, and then Corey hears about it, and then Corey lies. And it could have been three hysterical scenes, and then the rest of the episode rips your heart out when you realize what's actually going on. But instead, we start right with the heaviness, and we start right with, like, clearly something's going on with Topanga. Clearly, you know, it's like, and I'm just not sure. Is the audience supposed to believe that Eric is this much of an idiot, which could have been funny? If Eric is just misinterpreting and, like, he goes home to Corey and is like, they were making out left and right. And he's like, you know, and we know as an audience that he was being an idiot. But instead, we're not. We're supposed to actually believe in the drama of it, which no one believes. No one thinks
even
for a second that
Sean didn't look romantic. I mean, there was no...
But it also just the world we've developed. Topanga would never cheat on him and Sean would never do
also,
this. So
You know what I think? I think I agree with you, writer, about had it been hijinks. I think one of the things that I didn't love about this is it felt very much like the child abuse episode. Sean has a secret.
Oh, totally.
And it's drama. And Eric doesn't know what it is, but they're going to get to the bottom of it.
But
and
even
then
that
when
was
the
played
reveal
for comedy.
Isn't abuse, it's I'm moving. You're like, oh, I don't think it's worth all the
this weight
heaviness.
Yeah,
it's a move,
not
abuse.
But even the one you're talking about, Corey was trying to have sex with Topanga and it was hysterical.
Right,
like, those
exactly.
were some funny, it was
that
like
was a misunderstanding.
And it was still character-based. It wasn't like over-the-top ridiculousness, but it was still funny misunderstanding that took the whole first half of the episode before we get to the meat.
Yeah.
And this is just like, no, Eric has seen. And it's just like, oh, and I think it's a misstep anyway.
So anyway, Sean leans in and kisses Topanga on the cheek.
Yeah.
Eric
kind of.
Is shocked, shaking his head in disbelief as sad guitar melody plays and still
also,
no dialogue.
Not going to confront Sean then.
Nope.
No.
Like later on, he's so bold. He like seeks him out.
Nothing. It's very strange.
So then quickly we are into the Matthews kitchen. Corey and Morgan are chowing down on some food. Corey yells out to Eric, "Don't think I don't appreciate a good T-bone, but I would have been plenty happy with a double Chubby's burger." Morgan is annoyed. "He gets steak, I get cold grilled cheese. What gives?" Eric explains, "I just feel that our little brother with his interesting life deserves a hearty meal." He gives Corey a little massage on the shoulders and leans into Morgan, who isn't buying it. "Do I normally do nice stuff for Corey?" She shakes her head. "So why would I be doing something nice for Corey now?" And Morgan realizes, "Because something terrible happened to him," which I did think was funny.
Which is great. And she's age appropriate this episode.
Yes.
It's not like they don't have her in footy pajamas in a, you know, in a CNC, playing with a CNC as everything's going on. It's like, okay, good. She's exactly. A kid. Good.
Corey had a feeling this meal was one of those condemned man, death row, last meal kind of things, but he points out that can't be because there's no cake. And then Eric pulls the lid off of a large container sitting on the table to reveal a beautiful chocolate cake. And I thought, we need to pull the cake from somewhere else.
Can we not just turn around and grab it off the counter?
Exactly.
Is that too much of a move to literally turn behind me, grab the cake
around,
and put it down in front of him for the nice reveal?
You're waiting for it. So the second he says the cake line, you're just like rolling
and
your eyes.
The first thing I thought was, what's in that big cake container?
Giant cake tin. What's with the giant cake tin that's never been there before? Is that going to come back?
Nice. Is that going to play in this scene somehow? What's going to happen?
Oh, I wish we could talk to Matt Nelson because I'm so curious what was happening. Like it feels like this episode, like we're coming off of Chick Like Me, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the last one, right?
Which must have been
which must have been a big episode for production, right?
Right.
Dealing with all the stuff. Yes. And then we go into this two-parter. It's just, there's so much pressure on this episode. I'm so curious what happened during this.
I'm also curious
this
if it was written together, if they wrote it as one giant piece kind of and then split it down.
I think so. I'm assuming so. But I just feel like there's so many interesting choices. Like the idea to play this for drama from the get-go is a big choice. And then like I'm just curious what was happening this week.
Yeah, it was tonally a weird episode for me. And I thought my
And do you remember making this at all?
No. I remember and you know, obviously this is 30 years later, so we're no spoiler alerts here, but the thing I remember more than anything was the reaction to the audience when Topanga shows up in the second part.
Next
and
episode.
I remember Olivia Hussey next episode.
Right.
This episode, not at all. I didn't remember throwing you against the wall. I didn't remember any of that stuff.
Nope. I feel like it was rewritten a lot at the last minute.
Maybe.
Or something.
Must have been.
Maybe.
You know, we obviously can't talk to Matt Nelson, but we could talk to Jeff McCracken, who always has good insight. So we can talk to, we should have Jeff on again and we should talk to him.
Do you remember making this at all, Danielle?
No, not this episode.
It's a great episode for you, actually. I mean,
I get to do a ton.
You were better.
Well, you're the character who should have drama, right? you playing this for like this, the stakes being high and your life being like, that's totally great. You know?
I thought Ben was good too.
And you're wonderful.
Frankly. I thought Ben was good too. I thought that the two of them, but that it adds to the gravitas when not everybody's there in that same dramatic mode. If you know, if they're in the drama in the maelstrom and then everybody around them is lighter, makes for better drama in my opinion.
But this isn't a knock on Ben as an actor, but it's Corey's intensity and guilt tripping that's just so, it's like that he makes it about him, you know, like over and that just grates. Like that's not an acting thing. That's just like literally a one note character decision that keeps getting written over and over again. It's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah. Well, it's also very 16 though. How does whatever's
and
going on in my
really
life right
about
now
him.
Affect
Topanga's
me?
Moving.
You know?
That's my that's my girlfriend. That's my relationship.
Yeah.
This is going to change my weekend plans, my night plans,
everything
about, you know, and my parents don't seem to be super supportive about once I come to the decision that we're going to make it work, my parents don't seem super supportive.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about pain and I'm trying to be in denial that there's going to be any pain. We're going to do this. So I think it's okay that he's like, and he, when in the moments when Topanga's really upset, he tries to comfort her. It's okay. Yeah. We're going to do this. Yes. We're going to see. Can we see each other every weekend? Can we write letters every day? Yes. So Corey as a character did not bother me this episode.
I agree. It was also, he also said things like, you know, maybe we, if somebody does ask you out and I'm not there, is it fair that you can't really go out with this person? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think they, I kind of liked his struggle in this episode because he was going back and forth from the very selfish Corey that we've seen before to trying to think more about Topanga's feelings. That's what I got out of it. And, and again, when you're 16, I mean, you know this better than anybody. You were, you had a girlfriend by the time you were 12. It is all encompassing when you're love at 15, 16, 17 years old.
And I like manic upset Corey, you know, like Corey with the Romeo and Juliet and Feeny is like a great scene. Like that is like the most, it's the Corey refusing to kiss Topanga to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's Corey yelling at his mom. Like, you know, it's, and it's just a, it's just one note. Like, I also think that there's a version of like Corey freaking out that's very funny, you know, like, like, and this is not played for comedy. This is played for, I don't believe in Pittsburgh, you know, and it's that level of like, well, Jesus, kid, like, you know,
and that's the destiny part of it.
And, and you know what? Like, I agree. Like, that's actually how 16-year-olds are. But the show itself is bolstering Corey's worldview.
Right.
Like, we are not laughing at an emotional teenager. We are being taught by the emotion, from the emotions of the teenager, we are supposed to feel bad as an audience. And that's like, what? Like,
and he's no, the right one.
The perspective. Oh, he's,
So Corey stands up, dead man walking. He asks his brother if they should do this in the living room, and Eric strokes his face. We could do it there. and then we flip to the Matthews living room. Yeah, Eric assures Corey.
That's where I was like, oh, I wanted more of that. Like, I wanted a little more like Eric being over the top, you know, with this situation or being wrong.
And he does,
or just
he does horribly, deliver. He does deliver in a little bit with the knife to the stomach. And the hard part was that they didn't, and they did have a laugh there, but they don't want to lean too much into the laughter. So they held laughs in other places where I think they should have escalated it. So Eric assures Corey he's only telling him this because he's the older brother and it's the right thing to do. Corey's panicked. He doesn't want to know. Eric says he has to know. So Corey finally caves. He'll be fine as long as this news has nothing to do with Sean or Topanga. Eric doesn't know how to tell him, so he talks in Japanese and stabs himself in the stomach, dramatically falling dead onto the couch and imitating seppuku, which is the samurai practice of voluntarily dying with honor rather than falling into the hands of your enemies.
Yep.
Eric decides to just rip the Band-Aid off. He saw Sean at Chubby's with Topanga, and he kissed her. And I'm just going to say it once and maybe 50 times. Nowhere does anyone mention that it was on the cheek. Was it really supposed to have been staged
Much? Yes. So the way to do it was, so they clearly have Sean bending around her face. So that we as the audience can kind of see that it wasn't romantic. But from Eric's point of view, it looks like they're going lip to lip.
Okay.
I think that's what they were going for.
Right.
But again, none of this makes sense to run back and be like, I just saw your best friend, your girlfriend kissing or making out. First of all, like, they'd be doing it in public at the one place everyone in town goes to. All of a sudden, Corey's not going to find out that Topanga, because again, we've already established Corey is the most popular and well-known person in all of Philadelphia. So nobody's going to notice that they're making out.
But even also, if you had run back and impulsively blurted out to Corey, but instead you have like a whole dinner. It's like, so it's like you've had time to think about this and consider this. Yeah. And
the best part is that while Sean and Topanga are making out in the back room, what happened next in order for this kitchen scene to make sense is that Will turned around and walked up and was like, can I get a T-bone and a grilled cheese? And then he had to wait for the food while they were just in that back room.
Picked up the food. They're still there making, like, did you notice that she's crying and it was a kiss on the cheek by the 20 minutes you're waiting at Chubby's? Because everyone knows one thing about Chubby's. The pickup orders aren't ready that fast. It's good food, but it's not good food quickly.
Yeah.
So, come on. Yeah, It wasn't there.
A weird start. It's a
bizarre start.
It doesn't get better for another couple of seasons.
It turns out to be a great, you know, two-parter, like it's such an important part of Boy Meets World lore, but man, it started rough.
So Corey's in shock. He immediately heads for the phone and dials Sean in a panic, but he doesn't pick up. He tells Eric nothing happened. Then he dials Topanga, but she doesn't pick up either. Corey, who has nowhere to turn with this, is frustrated with Eric. I understand you're my older brother. You're not supposed to let anything bad happen to me. He proceeds to aggressively push Eric backwards onto the couch. And then Corey shouts, how could you let this happen to me? And again, there being no laugh feels super weird.
Yeah,
because super even weird. This roller coaster Corey's on, even having just found out that he thinks his best friend kissed his girlfriend, it's still, if he was like, absolutely nothing happened, absolutely nothing, something big happened,
everything happened.
Yeah. Like, and him pushing his brother, all of that could have been very funny.
Played for laughs.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that we did this with no audience? I honestly don't remember, because I know the living room by this point was still directly in front of the audience.
I know. It feels like we definitely would have.
Some reaction to that.
I know, but maybe they did. Maybe they pre-taped this because they didn't want to laugh there. I don't know. Yeah. Very interesting.
I don't know either. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Eric is upside down on the couch now, chilling out. He knows Corey's upset, and that's why he's not going to kick his butt. Corey makes sure he's heard this correctly. You saw him kiss her? Eric confirms he did. Corey shakes his head and admits, then my butt's kicked anyway. And this is where I noticed as Ben turned and walked up the stairs. Ben has a fuzz on his butt.
He's got a fuzz butt? Which is different than a fuzz bucket.
Yes, I only really noticed it, especially because he was like talking about then my butt's kicked anyway, and he turns and walks up the stairs, and he's wearing a burgundy shirt, and there's a white piece of fuzz right in the center of his shirt.
Eyes went right to his butt because he said butt. Don't think of a white elephant. Yeah,
exactly. It was like now my eyes are on your butt, and you've got fuzz on your butt. How did nobody notice the fuzz on your butt? We are back in the John Adams cafeteria. A lot of extras in this episode, and There's still a blood drive, Will.
Yep, always. Always, we got to keep, there's a lot of blood needed in the Philadelphia area.
We haven't been in the cafeteria for a while.
I know.
This might be like since the lunch lady died.
Yeah, maybe.
It's been all hallway and classroom, right? When you are in school.
Yeah. Classroom and hallway. I don't think, It suddenly felt young. Didn't it feel young? I suddenly was like, how old are we?
I know, eating in a cafeteria.
We're still eating in a cafeteria.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the Feeny vampire.
What if he's a vampire and he needs blood? Listen, he's got bodies buried in the backyard. What if he
drained him first? Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's all making sense.
It's all starting to make sense now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just happy to see myself drinking the red drink because I know for a fact I have exactly what that red drink tasted like. I know I've had it. But I've paid attention to every episode I've been
in. And you never drank it?
I'm never drinking the red drink.
You must have been drinking it on your own time.
So the fact that in this cafeteria, in this scene, I'm drinking it. And I was thrilled to watch myself take a drink. And I go, there we go. I at least have visual proof that I did at least drink it one time.
Okay.
I was thrilled. I was like, there I am drinking red drink. So happy. Sean and Topanga are sitting next to each other eating lunch. Topanga is still obviously upset. Corey walks right up to them and awkwardly greets the two. Sean and Topanga stare at him wide-eyed, not saying a thing.
And they do this Zoom effect.
Weird
Which,
Zoom
again,
thing where it's
cool. Supposed to be funny.
Is this funny or is this like a horror film? Like, I don't know. Is it supposed to be drama? Or
it should be funny.
Guys, it's so tonally off. Like,
I'm sorry, but Ryder, this is exactly the conversation you and I have had a number of times about this is why sometimes a laugh track is necessary.
Yeah.
Because if you're going for the laugh, that scene is completely different if you throw laughs underneath it.
Same. Right. And so is the scene with you being pushed on the back of the couch and all of it. It's all light. And then bomb.
Right.
Instead of there's a bomb. It's a different bomb.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I mean, I think what happened is I don't remember this specifically, but I remember a lot of moments and scenes like this. I wouldn't be surprised if the network or somebody was already giving pushback on the seriousness of Corey and Topanga's love. And that Michael Jacobs was doubling down on this storyline because it feels like somebody went through and said, this is important. This is serious. We're not playing this for laughs. We're going to play this for, this is an important love. And you feel that in the tone of the show. And actually in the writing, there is the potential for laughs. Yeah, you're right, Will. Like, somebody decided to not have a laugh track. Right. And, I think that, our team, I'm not going to pin it all on Michael necessarily, but our team decided to be like, no, this is a very special episode and we're going to change the tone of the show in order to bolster this, And I feel like, it did always, like, don't you guys remember the Corey Topanga seriousness being something discussed constantly on set?
Oh,
like,
I know for a fact it was very important to Michael that this relation, we are not going to do the stereotypical, they don't end up together, but you want them to, we're not doing that. They will be together.
When did that decision get made on behind the scenes? Because I feel like this might have been the week.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess I don't know. I do not think the network would have been pushing back about what they had seen so far about, this is too serious. But I could see them saying, what's happening with this relationship? Where are the stakes here? They're just together and they're just going to casually be together. Like, what's the thing? Like, And Michael saying, don't worry. You wait till you see what we're going to do. Yeah.
I also think we know Michael well enough to where he would say, and I think I can honestly say that he would say, I knew they were going to end up together the second she pushed him against the locker.
He would say that, yes.
He would say that. Yeah. The second she pushed him against the locker, I knew they were going to be married for the rest of their life.
And so three seasons later, I made her a regular.
Right.
Three seasons later, she wasn't just getting guest star rates.
I wasn't willing to pay her.
I didn't want to actually commit to that character.
But that's what I think Michael would say. It was he knew from the second she pushed him against the locker and they had that moment at the end that they were going to end up together.
The truth in that storytelling is that the kernel of something great happened in that very first episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And like... So yes, there is truth in that, right? Yeah, like absolutely. You see the Corey Topanga episode and you go, this is the show, if not a pillar of the show, the same way that you see, you know, Eric, I'm trying to think, is there a defining Eric early moment? I mean, I think for Sean,
maybe throwing the bag with
Or
I always go to, you know, you go to Jaleel White on Family Matters. You know, he wasn't the show wasn't about Urkel at all when it started, and then another character comes on, and you go, oh, this is the show,
right?
I think we had that with Topanga, but then they don't bring her on for four seasons.
Right.
So I think in a really weird way, this is the start of Corey and Topanga. This episode is the start of Corey and Topanga.
I think this is the episode. This is the episode that launches the commitment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to commit as a show, as a couple, all, you know, we're all in and the audience is coming with us.
Yep.
And it feels a little, I feel in these first scenes, it feels like we're being pushed into that direction.
Right.
This is important. No, we're not going to just make a joke out of this. And it's heavy handed, I guess is the easiest way to put
it. It's melodramatic.
But I mean, you can tell that Jeff McCracken with the camera moves is trying to find the comedy here. Like there's a joke in there.
Yes,
so I feel like there was a conversation going on, you know, and it just kind of fell in between.
Yeah, that camera move was clearly for a joke. What?
Yes,
hello?
And the eyes we're making are clearly for a joke.
Yeah. Hello, Topanga, close on you. Hello, Sean, close on you. Hello, both of you. Pull back to the two of them. That's a joke.
Yes, I
but
know.
Then it
and
wasn't
it should have been funny,
one.
But it's not played as a joke. I know. Nope. Corey finally blurts out, Topanga, I need to talk to you. She quickly stands up. She can't. She has Feeny's history class. Corey stops her, knowing full well she has lunch right now. He asks why she didn't call him back last night, and she shrugs. It was really late. It was only 7. She has no answer other than she has history now, and she darts out. Sean stands up to run after her, but Corey stops him. Where are you going? Sean stutters, I have history now. Corey's tone turns cold. You have lunch now with me. Sean whines, you let her go. Corey gives him a death stare and Sean sits back down at the lunch table. Corey says he's going to be absolutely mature about this. Knock, knock. Sean asks, who's there? And Corey responds, you and Topanga together at Chubby's last night. Eric saw you. Sean nervously says the line back to him. You and Topanga together at Chubby's last night. Eric saw you. And then adds, who?
Funny joke.
Corey ditches the joke. You were at Chubby's last night? Sean says Eric has no idea what he saw. Corey asks again if he was at Chubby's last night, and Sean says yes. Corey asks if he was there with Topanga, and again, Sean says yes. Corey says he's looking for a no on this last question. Did you kiss her? Sean nods. Yes. Corey shouts, no, in horror. Sean assures him it was no big deal. Topanga got into a fight with her parents and was really emotional. Sean happened to be at Chubby, so he gave her a hug and an innocent kiss. You know I tell you everything. Then why are you avoiding kissing her on the cheek?
Yeah, why not just say I kissed her on the cheek?
Sure, but I also feel like, did you guys kiss people on the cheeks to make them feel better? Like, is that especially for teenagers? Like, I had this weird moment of like, is Sean like kissing? Like, I don't know. Like,
it's a hug. It's the hug. And because the hug would not have sold it.
I know,
but that's what you do. I mean, you hug somebody to make them feel better.
I had to buy into this reality. I was like, why is Sean so defensive and like, you kiss her on the cheek. For me, it was like, you know, you lick her neck. It's not something, I don't know. Like, did I ever kiss girls on the cheek that I was friends with, especially at that age when hormones are raging? No.
Yeah.
You kiss moms on the cheek. You kiss, grown-ups, maybe. And if you're European, hello. But like... To make Topanga feel better, Sean leans down. Sean's kind of gaslighting Corey a little bit in this moment because it's like that is a little weird, dude. Why don't you just accept it? Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done it. No.
Yeah.
So Sean is sure Topanga will talk to him about it soon. They just happen to run into each other first. That's all. Corey sighs. He feels better. Sean tells him Topanga loves you. Your brother's got you jumping to conclusions. Tell him to back off. Corey tells Sean to excuse him, and we get a flip, but I don't know that I would call it an optical flip
because
it's just a direct flip, maybe.
It's an intensity flip because, man, do I look intense when we come
back. You are ready to go,
man. I'm like a firecracker. You're feeling froggy. Just jump because I am ready to go.
I don't understand the point of this whole
thing. No, I don't either. It makes no sense.
And we go back to you for you to insist that you saw what you saw and come beat me up about it?
Right.
And
right.
why that right. is it like...
Why is that necessary to the story? I don't know.
I feel like Corey is what it's supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, we're trying to preserve Eric's virtue or like his willingness to fight.
Well,
you
that's
know?
What I'm and saying. Right. I did like, and that Eric's like, no, I know what I saw, bro. I'm not going to let your best friend gaslight
your friend, right? Gaslight, right?
I know what I saw, and it was weird.
But the audience the audience could clearly see what was going on. The audience never believes.
The audience
that Sean
knows
and
that something's
so
wrong.
It just makes Eric look
even worse,
like a bully, or you know, like it's kind of like, dude, chill. I don't know.
Eric is also supposed to be what, 19 or 20 at this point, and he's going after a kid in high school.
Right.
It's not a good look for Eric, and not good acting for Will. So doubly bad.
Corey is not great. They're back in the Matthews living room. Corey is in Eric's face, shouting that Sean is his best friend and Topanga loves him. He accuses Eric of being a twisted sibling for assuming the worst. He's supposed to protect him. Eric blankly stares at Corey and responds with another, excuse me. And we get another flip, now with an angry Eric approaching Sean at Chubby's. Eric grabs Sean by his shirt and aggressively pushes him against the wall. Sean is nervous. Wow. He tells Eric he doesn't know what's going on. Eric asks, you think you can do something that causes Corey pain and you're not going to get pain back? He shoves Sean against the wall even harder.
You reject all the way.
Exactly.
If we bust out into song right now,
it wasn't bad. Yeah. I mean,
meet me at Chubby's.
But I don't remember this at all.
Yeah.
No. And you figure me grabbing you and throwing you against the wall would trigger some kind of memory of, oh, I remember we worked this out, but nope, don't remember this even slightly.
Yeah, he shoves Sean against the wall even harder, and then Corey interjects. He's come to his own conclusion. Just as Sean gets himself in order, Corey pushes him back into the wall. He says something bad did happen. Sean tells him that's true, but he can't tell him what the bad thing is. He just needs to talk to Topanga. Corey leaves, and Eric menacingly points at Sean, who in
double
turn,
point. Did you notice that? It was this for some reason. I don't even know what this is. This is like, it was like the double whatever. Wasn't even a point. Yeah. It was like the double point. So
did you really do that?
Yeah. Cause even Sue was like, oh, you gave him like the double point. I was like, yeah man. That's, I want him doubly to know that I don't know what's going on. Oh, but does anybody have any guesses, by the way, of how close you think Chubby's is to the Matthews house?
I mean, it has to be walking distance,
that's
right?
That's what I'm thinking. They can walk there, right?
Yeah, everybody's within walking distance. Because then we say Topanga lives around the corner in like two scenes.
Exactly. Okay.
So I was like thinking,
Chubby's is on one side of the train tracks. Corey lives over there. Sean lives just on the other side of those train tracks.
Okay.
And Topanga lives around the back corner from Chubby's. So they're both walking distance.
They're all Chubby adjacent.
Correct.
Okay.
And the Chubby's trailer park is right in the middle.
Yes.
But on the other side of the tracks.
But on the other side of the tracks. Gotcha.
Right.
So then we're in Topanga's room, still with signs of season one Topanga on the wall. There's an ozone depletion poster. Dolphins.
I mean, it's obviously being packed up.
Yeah.
Which explains it. But I was like, whoa, it's a whole different room.
It is a whole different room.
I missed the old.
Yeah.
And Corey doesn't notice.
No,
he does eventually. He notices eventually.
I think they're playing it that he's focused on whatever the hell. Wow, what happened? What's going on?
Right.
It's like I'm laser focused on this one thing, and I don't notice that your entire room is different.
Yeah.
Why is he climbing into the window?
I wasn't even going to ask.
That's romantic. Ryder,
it's the only way we've ever seen anybody come in and out of this room.
Boys and girls, if you're going to see each other, you have to climb up trees and in through windows.
And obviously, it's a Romeo and Juliet.
I was going to say, and it's
joking,
Romeo and Juliet. It's act two, scene two. It's act two, scene two, of course.
Topanga is longingly staring at a picture of her and Corey just as Corey knocks on her window. She lets him in. What's he doing? He responds by kissing her, and the audience oohs. Topanga asks, what was that for? And Corey tells her, I wanted to be the last one to kiss you before I kill you. He explains that his favorite part of their relationship is that they've always been able to talk to each other about anything.
It's not the sex.
We're told. So he wants her to talk to him. She immediately leans in for another kiss, and Corey asks, what was that for? She admits, I wanted to be the last one to kiss you before I kill you. She hangs her head, unable to face Corey. He acknowledges it must be something really bad. Topanga faces him. Corey, you're my best friend. You always have been, and more. I know how young and stupid this is, but I've always believed that we'd be together for the rest of our lives. Now, I do kind of buy that Topanga has felt that way, because in the Sweet 16 episode, we danced, and it was very important for me to dance to that because my parents danced.
Yep. Totally. I also just think that's the way you do feel often. Yes. At 16. A lot of people feel like, oh my God, we're going to beat the odds. It's so great.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, nothing up until this point in the episode matters for the rest of the episode.
Nope.
Like, nothing that has happened.
No.
Plays into
effects.
It. Nope. No.
It doesn't, right? Because Eric, the fact of Eric and Sean, like, that dynamic never comes back.
No. We'll have to see if it does second episode, if there's any acknowledgement of me pushing you up against the wall, if that ever is brought back in any way, shape, or form.
The only thing that plays into it is that Eric has made it clear, and Corey's made it clear, you're my big brother, you're supposed to protect me, and that Eric has made it clear, I take that job seriously. And so then later in the episode, Eric is like, listen, I don't know how to save you from this. I've tried everything, and I think the only way through it is through it.
Yeah.
I wish somehow there was a way. I love, too, that at the end, Sean reverts back to one of the things we loved about early Sean and Corey was that Sean gives terrible advice. The reason Corey thinks it's not really going to happen is because you convince him, oh, no, trust me, I'm an expert. Right. I'm an expert. Nothing bad happens.
And the overconfidence of, like, I don't know TV shows. Yeah, this is life.
Oh, yeah. And we had it in the Sweet 16 episode of, trust me, it's a TV show. So that's a fun callback.
Wait, and it's Matt Nelson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I just think you could have started the episode here.
Right.
And we have pretty much the same series of events from here on. It's so unaffected by those first. As opposed to like the abuse episode, which this is structured the most similarly to, where that confusion plays into the thematics of like Corey, you know, moving too fast on Topanga and Sean, you know, it all kind of comes together. So even though there's a misunderstanding that gets resolved after the first act, it at least plays into the second act. Whereas in this case, I'm just not sure it does at all. Like it's just gone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And at least I like that at least Topanga acknowledges that it's crazy to think you're going to be together forever, but you always did.
Right. And she's like, I know this probably sounds stupid, but. Yeah.
Right.
And then Corey calls a stop time. Because he knows that if Topanga keeps going, she'll eventually get to the bad part. If they stop time, they'll be together for the rest of their lives. Topanga starts to tear up and sits down on the bed. Corey reminds her he called a stop time. She can't cry during a stop time. She lays her head on his shoulder and sniffles. Corey starts to notice the boxes in her room. Why are there so many boxes everywhere? Topanga finally breaks the news. My family and I are moving. Corey is hopeful. To
an hour.
Different house on the same block? Topanga clarifies, we're leaving Philadelphia. They just stare at each other as the screen fades to black and we go to a commercial. And then we come back. We're in Topanga's room, continuous. Corey is slumped over on Topanga's bed. The Lawrence family is moving the day after tomorrow. Her mom was transferred and they need her away.
That is so intense.
Fast move, man.
There's no way out.
Fast move.
So this is where I had to pause.
Okay.
And just sort of linger for a moment on the power of this moment, which was really cool to realize, like, how big moving is for kids.
I know.
Like,
it's a perfect, I mean, it's the perfect storytelling way to show the disempowerment of children. Like, you can't control this. You cannot, your parents need a job change and move. You are going to lose your teachers, your friends, your community. And it's like, and you can't do anything about it. Like, really, because you're just a kid. And I thought this is such a great place for storytelling. I mean, it's like maybe like one of my favorite places is to put the audience and the characters right into, the child situation, the children's mindset. Yeah. You can't. And I think, it's easy to forget that kids feel just as much, if not more, than grownups, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't have any power. They can't do anything about it. They just, they're stuck with the parents they got whatever their life situation is, the class they're in, the country they're in, they're just stuck there. They don't get that choice. And yet they feel just as much. And I think that is so beautiful. And that is like one of the central, the best parts of children's storytelling or movies or television shows about kids is that you can have a moment like this, right? Where you really just and then, you know, for me, I had to think about like, and then where does this episode go? And it goes in a place that really and we'll get, I guess in this next episode, really, where it re-empowers the kids through their love, which is just a weird storytelling choice that, you know, sent me down this rabbit hole of Romeo and Juliet and the comparisons, which we can get into maybe next episode when we have Olivia Hussey on. But like, it's a really, it's such a powerful, like, it's just a powder keg of a moment in Boy Meets World lore. And I kind of loved it. And then I got really worried about where it's going to go.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work.
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending.
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandy.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You're right. And that's why I'm sending mine farm fresh flowers from Books.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Books order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Books Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD.
I remember my parents telling me we were moving when I was 9 or 10 years old, and we were leaving Orange County and moving to Calabasas. And it was like, wait, so wait, what do you mean? And where is this? And it's how far away? And Well, how am I going to see Jessica? You know, they tried to tell me, we promise we'll make it easy. You know, Jessica's parents will meet halfway. You can spend a weekend with Jessica. Jessica can come and spend a weekend with you. And it being like, oh, okay. And then being like, so what school am I going to go to? And like, who? And yeah. I don't know anything about this neighborhood. And it feeling like, wait, how come? Are you sure? There was a feeling like, wait, this isn't even something you're talking to me about. You're telling me it's happening. And I do. I remember it feeling really kind of scary. And I worry about it because I know we're going to want to move. We're going to want to move at some point with my kids. And Adler has no idea how that works. He's already talked to me. He's like, so if we move, no one ever lives in this house again. And I go, no, of course, honey. Then somebody else moves into this house. He goes, not into my house. I love my my house. It's like he can't fathom that like his room isn't always going to just be his room. So you're right. It is such a crazy thing to think about. Just kids have no power.
I did the same thing in third grade. We moved 20 minutes away. I never saw those kids again.
You just yank. I mean, it just your whole
you
life
adapt,
is
but that's the other thing is kids are also really adaptable.
I know.
So it's a combination.
No, what
of
you
that
do
too.
Is you you insist on your relationship, you demand for it, and you make the reality shift to it.
You do not need somebody
lesson,
new.
Will. My God, have you not?
He missed it. He missed
have
it.
Have you not watched this show?
You know
show?
What? He hasn't seen part two. That's all
intense.
It is. He just hasn't seen part two.
Being too intense.
Hold on. He hasn't
I mean, this
seen
is my
part
problem.
Two.
This is my problem. Is that you can't like. That's a really horrible lesson. I'm sorry. Like the, it's a
we're
complete,
not to that lesson yet, Ryder. We'll talk about it next week.
Fine.
Topanga gives Corey a soft smile. Corey goes on, I'm as young and stupid as you. Topanga apologizes for being afraid to talk to him. Corey says, this is just a simple piece of cake test for a relationship as solid as theirs. Topanga agrees, if two people who care about each other as much as we do can't hold it together, then there's no hope for anyone. Corey knows it'll take something a lot bigger than Pittsburgh to break them apart. Topanga kisses him and he asks again, what was that for? She smiles. I wanted to be the last one to kiss you before I kiss you again. They smile and they rest their heads against each other. And again, there were no laughs in that scene. And why do kisses always have to be for something?
Because they're important. I spent a lot of that scene wishing it was high def, by the way, because I wanted to see the pictures on your
wall. I've never been kissed by somebody and say,
and then what was that for?
And I feel like we've done that a lot. It feels like such a Boy Meets World thing. Like,
is it?
Let's keep this conversation going. Can you explain why you just kissed
me? Why did you just kiss me, girlfriend of mine that I love so much?
Well, yeah, you're right. And then also when you think about like, now I'm going to kiss you to ensorcel you or change your mind about something. Like, it's instrumental. Kissing is instrumental. Yes. It's never for its own sake.
Affection or to tell you I love you or to show in some other way the words I'm saying. If you do it, you have to explain it
it's
verbally.
Yep. Oh my God.
So then we're in the Matthews kitchen. Corey is feverishly scribbling on a map. Amy tries to reason with him. I know how hard this must seem right now, but sometimes we have to believe that things happen for a reason. Corey doesn't hesitate. Everything's going to work out. Do you know how close Philadelphia and Pittsburgh actually are? And the answer is 5 hours and 10 minutes away.
It's 308 miles or
305 miles.
Yeah. I Googled right at this point.
That's what I did too. That's where I came up with 5 hours and 10 minutes.
Traffic must have been heavier when you looked because it was 447 when I checked.
Oh, yeah. I checked later. Okay. It's just a matter of rearranging some schedules. Amy says it's going to be harder than he realizes. Alan jumps in. Corey's trying very hard. Why do we have to? Amy doesn't let him finish. Because it's going to be harder than he realizes. And I think he needs to know that.
This is a great scene. By the way. Like, I love that the parents are just as confused. Yep. And Corey, you know, like, I just love all this conversation. This is, like, classic good Boy Meets World writing.
Yep.
Where you don't make Amy awful. You make her totally reasonable, but against Corey. You don't make Corey awful, but he's, you know, very much digging in his heels. And you got Alan kind of stuck in the middle, and he flip-flop. It's great. Just great complicated writing.
Really well done. Corey is confident. Topanga and I have talked about this. If we believe we can make this work, why would you doubt us? She doesn't doubt Corey's feelings for Topanga. It's just that long-distance relationships are very difficult. You've lived around the corner from each other all your lives, and now you won't. That's going to make things painful. Corey asks his dad why she's talking about pain, and Alan admits, because it may be tougher than you think. Corey argues that he and Topanga are willing to make these sacrifices because they're going to be together for the rest of their lives. Amy questions that. The rest of your lives? You're 16 years old. Corey fires back. So are a couple of friends of mine named Romeo and Juliet. And they turned out okay, didn't they? And then the audience laughs. First laugh in a while. Yep. And Corey leaves as Amy and Alan give each other a puzzled look. And then old-timey music plays as the screen fades. And then we're in the Matthews backyard. Corey is reading Romeo and Juliet and he scoffs. Won't work. Look at my man Romeo in love with his Juliet. Nothing's keeping them apart. Feeney walks out in a killer turtleneck and cardigan combo. And he sees Corey is brushing up on his Shakespeare. Corey asks, you know how you've always told us to take what we learn in the classroom and apply it to everyday life? Feeney knows what he's referring to. You and Topanga? Corey says she's moving to Padua. Feeney corrects him. Pittsburgh, she told me. He gives Corey a very sincere apology. Corey explains, there are those who don't think we can make it because we're just a couple of kids, but here's the proof. Feeny notices the book. Whoa, boy. Knowing Corey hasn't actually finished the play yet. Corey asks, they're in love. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm sorry, Feeny this bumped him, me. It just did. We've done Romeo and Juliet 10 times in this thing, and no 16-year-old right? doesn't know that Romeo and Juliet don't end in death. I mean, nobody doesn't know that. So it's
I know.
Like,
I actually don't mind the one joke. If they had just left it to that one that was in the kitchen where he goes, and it worked out for them, didn't it? And he walked out. If they had just done that, I would have been like, he doesn't remember that they died or something. Like, I could have got that one joke. But the fact that he keeps going back to like,
bother me.
This
a little bit.
Is, I know. Like, come I don't. On.
Everybody knows that about Romeo and Juliet. And you can even have a joke about that, like Mr. Matthews, the end. I'm not thinking about the end. I mean, something like whatever you want to do.
Feeny tells him to flip ahead a little, and Corey reads aloud the part where Juliet kills herself with Romeo's dagger. He tries to make light of the situation. She said, happy dagger. Corey continues reading about Juliet stabbing herself. Shakespeare, what a hack. Feeny tries to comfort him. Over the course of a person's life, he comes across a few defining moments. This is one of yours. Feeny tries to tell Corey it's an opportunity, but Corey is conflicted. Pittsburgh's 305 miles away. Maybe he's just kidding himself. Feeny admits, for as long as I've known you, whenever you've been faced with adversity, you have always risen to the occasion. I have no reason to believe you won't again. Corey wonders, do you believe two 16-year-olds can be in love, Friar Feeny? Feeny smiles. He believes that he and Miss Lawrence have something that they won't allow themselves to lose. If they listen to their heart's instructions, they won't go wrong. Corey pats him on the back and pulls him into a bit of an awkward hug. That was brilliant. My true journey to Topanga begins. He quickly runs away, leaving Feeny surprised, about to yell after him, but he does not. He does say aloud to himself, yes, well, there we are. So do we think Feeny,
what is happening there, Feeny,
trying to say? Like, is
he's
Feeny,
being supportive and vague, you know?
Yeah, which
but
I think is.
It's also, is that really like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just listening to the recap because it didn't bother me at the time, but I'm listening to the recap and I'm like, what is Corey thinking right now? Like, he's running away to do what? Like, to make the relationship.
Well, he does. The next thing you see in the optical flip is him saying, let's get married. Let's move in together. Yeah. We're going to be together. Let's give it all up. Yeah. Feeny
even just told me that this could work out if I wanted to. I wanted to. We're getting married.
Yeah.
I think is what they were going.
But I am wondering, what does Feeny think?
Yeah. I think Feeny, no, I don't think Feeny thinks about it either way. I think Feeny is very much a, you're a good person, follow your heart. It's always worked for you. And wherever that ends up, that's the right place.
That's the right choice, yeah.
And I think that's well, kind
he's,
of...
Yeah, he's not trying
he's
to
not,
lead him in
He doesn't want to
direction.
Devalue Corey's feelings, which is so awesome, right?
So smart.
Like, he's basically validating Corey's feelings and saying, like, which is exactly the right thing to do with a teenager in this situation, because... You know, no one wants to be told you don't actually feel love. You don't, you know, which Amy hasn't
said.
You're
too young to get this. Yeah.
But I imagine that's sort of the subtext of what she, you know, I mean, she says you're 16 the rest of your lives. You know, she's basically saying you don't know love. And, you know, and to Feeny's credit, he's just supportive of Corey.
Right.
But not, there's no practical advice in Feeny, in what Feeny's saying. No.
See, I just to push back a little bit, I don't think Amy is saying subtextually that you don't know love. I think what she's saying is when you get older, you realize that sometimes love is not enough.
Right.
And even though you are in love and it is real love, there are real things, real world things like logistical problems and things like that that are going to affect your relationship.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that she's actually said, but what Corey's hearing.
Right,
is,
of course, because that's what you hear.
Yeah, my love isn't strong enough, right? And that's like the classic teenage interpretation of your mom minimizing your relationship, you know, just trying to give you a reality check.
Definitely.
So then we get a real optical flip and we're in Topanga's room. Corey's on his knees holding Topanga, begging her, marry me. We'll buy a house, start a family and live in the same city. She tells him they can't get married, but he insists, we'll struggle at first, but all couples struggle at first. He tries convincing her they can get
part-time
jobs.
So this is just
jobs.
Describing season seven, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
I also noticed in the scene where Corey and Eric are together, we're now almost the same height.
I know.
And when he's on his knees hugging you, it's not that much of a height difference between you standing and him on his knees. I mean, Ben has grown, clearly grown by this point in the show.
Much taller now.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. They can get part-time jobs, cut back on expenses, and find an abandoned home in an upscale neighborhood. One thing he asks, no bugs. Corey jokingly gives in. Okay, one bug, but nothing with teeth. He jumps up. Let's go see what your parents will kick in. She tells him again, they can't get married. Corey asks if they can see each other every weekend, and she says yes. then asks, can we write letters to each other every day? He tells her yes. They hug, but Corey's apprehensive. What about phones? Why wouldn't they just talk every day? Why would they write letters every day?
Yeah, they are.
Pick up the phone.
It is kind of, they're going very Connecticut with it.
Pick up the phone, pull out your antenna.
I think in the 90s, I wrote letters all the time. You know,
not that you put in the snail mail. I wrote notes that I could pass back and forth.
You actually wrote letters?
All the time. I was obsessed with it.
God.
Yeah, all the way up until 2005.
Stop. I love you very much. Stop. If you know where it is, stop. Like,
I was on my home phone all the time.
I wrote letters to all my guy friends, too. I was a big letter writer, yeah.
Really?
And I think it was more normal back then, you know, like that was still part of like, I've always hated the telephone. So like, I didn't want to talk on the phone. It's like, I like being in person or I like writing. And that's, I'm still like a big emailer. I don't call people, I email.
Oh my God. Andrew Keegan and I would sit on the phone for hours. Half the time we would not even say anything. It'd be 45 minutes of complete silence. And then just be like, you still there? Yeah, you still here.
That was so funny.
Yeah, no,
as a matter
that.
Of fact, Andrew still, every time I send Andrew a text, he goes, yeah, he just calls me. I go, oh God, now I hate the phone. So now when he calls, I'm like, oh, Andrew, what are you doing to me? But he still wants to talk all the time.
I'm reversed. I'm actually like, now I've been making an effort. I'm like, I'm just going to call this person. Why am I writing this long letter? Because I've realized like, that is nice. Like talking to the phone's great.
I hit a threshold and eventually go, all right, then. And that's like, I'm good.
Mine's at about 2 minutes. All right, then. Thanks.
All right.
We covered what you wanted to talk about. Okay.
My favorite is I had a friend once who just had the habit of like, all right, I'm going to let you go then.
He's like, let you go.
You just want to go.
Like, putting it on you.
This is like the best segue. All right, I'm going to let you go then.
I don't want to keep you any longer. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm having a great time.
I'm fine.
So Corey pulls away and he reminds her, it's a new town, new school, new people. Pretty soon, guys are going to be lining up to ask you out. With me not there, why shouldn't you accept? Topanga asks, what about you? I know a million girls who would love to go out with you. Corey's surprised. Really? Because I was thinking about 10. He tells her it was just a little tension breaker, and Topanga asks where this leaves them because she leaves for Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Corey says, well, it's a long walk to Pittsburgh. She nods in acceptance and then asks if she has to give his jean jacket back.
They said the title of the show.
I did the show. That was the thing.
They said it.
He smiles and tells her to keep it. He puts it on her and embraces her. It's yours, like I am. She squeezes him back. Good, because I wouldn't have given it back to you anyway. And I got a little teary.
Really?
It worked. I got a little teary.
Oh, in real life, I thought on the show.
Real life, I got a little teary at work.
There's a lot of stuff blowing around in the air nowadays. I can't breathe myself.
It's the beginning of spring. So then we're in Chubby's. Corey's chugging soda, and it looks like he's surrounded by sad, empty beers. Sean watches on and then asks, so what are you and Topanga doing this weekend? Corey's shocked. We have been here for an hour, and you have yet to feel bad for me. What's going on? Sean asks, would you say that I watch a lot of TV? Corey nods, more than anyone I know. Why? Sean reveals, I have seen this plot 1,000 times. It always ends up the same. The girlfriend never moves away. Corey reiterates, this girlfriend's mom got a job in Pittsburgh. Sean brushes it aside. Give me a challenge, okay? Topanga's not going anywhere. Corey reminds him, this isn't TV. Sean nods, trust me.
Trust me. Also, Corey fake asks, sipping. The writer fake sipping.
Oh, yeah.
And if you notice this. Picking up the glass.
I'm not actually drinking.
It touches your lips and then comes back down. That's a writerism I've picked up on a couple times.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to do business, man. It's so important. I didn't actually notice that. It's also weird, like, to think about if you drink 12 Cokes, you have the opposite of, like, being like beers.
No,
like, you're not like chilling, depressed. No. He would be like buzzed.
You're bouncing off the walls and panicking. Yeah. No, not good.
I like this scene. Yeah. But this is like the fourth time in the season we've done this kind of thing with the universe, the TV show, self-rep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's our thing.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
It's 2024 and stress is already everywhere.
Deadlines at work!
Your kid's screaming at you.
Non-stop traffic.
The world is ending!
That's a big jump there, Ryder.
Yeah, sorry, kind of true.
Yeah, well, when we want to get away from the struggles of everyday life and have some comforting me time, we break into some Keebler Sandies.
Let's say it's finals week and Mr. Feeney has scheduled all of the tests into one day. How will Topanga find a comforting moment to herself?
Go to the mall?
Not with this hair.
Play guitar with her father, Jedediah?
Depends on which Jedediah.
Bite into some delicious Keebler Sandies?
Exactly. Keebler Sandies are buttery shortbread cookies made with simple ingredients.
And each Keebler Sandies cookie is baked to perfection by the adorable Keebler elves for a light sweetness and texture that melts in your mouth.
God bless those little Keebler elves.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
So, the next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Tell the elves Pod Meets World sent ya.
They're real. I've seen them.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD.
Corey asks, you're saying she can't move if we're really supposed to be together? Sean is confident. Not if TV is the true mirror of our lives. Corey asks, well, what about tomorrow night? She's coming over to my house to say goodbye. What about that? Sean tells him it's not going to happen. Corey wonders then, what about ER? The doctor on ER really left. Sean reminds him, ER's real.
Great line.
Amazing. Yeah, this whole, that's
ER's real.
Fantastic.
Just well, amazing.
Yeah.
Corey's ecstatic. So you don't think she's really going to leave, do you? Sean responds, no, because you don't deserve that kind of pain.
What does that mean?
Nope.
What does that mean?
Just because he can't imagine.
Who does deserve that pain? Who does deserve
right.
that pain?
Yeah,
right.
I don't know.
Sean does? What, if Corey were a bad person, mm-hmm. he would deserve the pain?
I think it's just,
I don't understand.
Your good friend doesn't deserve to feel that bad. I think it's just that simple.
I think it's more like, I don't know. I think it's the idea of Sean can't fathom that this is really happening because it would be the worst thing he could imagine happening to Corey. And, you know, if you really think about the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody you know, I think of like people I know who've lost a child.
Right.
And I think I truly don't know how you live
sure.
after you've lost
but
a child.
But you say no one deserves that
no
kind
one,
of pain.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
why
I
do
think
you say
it's more
you
about
don't,
the fact
like I'm
because Sean can't wrap his head around the idea that this could really happen at the end of this episode because how could something bad like that happen to somebody I know? It never happens to you. You know that it's too close to home when a tragedy happens that you don't really imagine it. So I don't think it's, I didn't take it that, I didn't take it like that. Like only Corey, other people do deserve it. It's more like, oh, I can't fathom that because you don't deserve that.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear it so pointedly as because Corey Matthews, the one and only person who doesn't deserve it. It was more like, because you don't deserve that. And I would say that to whoever I was facing.
The word deserve is, it's just moralizing. Like, I just heard, like, well, who does deserve that? You know, and it's, I just didn't get it. I was like, why? There's a version of, like, no one deserves that kind of pain or no one you know, but it's like, you don't deserve that kind of pain. It just felt very like, who does? Like, it's just, and what, because I don't know, it felt to me like the point is, you know, it's sort of playing on the, you're the main character of your show and you haven't done anything wrong, therefore the universe won't do this to you, which is just like, that feels like the structure that we're operating under.
Right. Right. Yeah. It didn't bother me, but I took it a little differently than you did. So then we're in the Matthews' backyard. Corey and Sean are eagerly awaiting Topanga's arrival. She arrives and says hi and thanks Sean for coming. Sean gives her the most cheerful response. Really sorry you're moving. Corey chimes in. I was thinking Saturday night we can go out to dinner. We could see a movie. We could hold each other for 5 hours. Topanga doesn't understand. She came over to say goodbye. That's already hard enough. Corey assures her, we don't need to say goodbye because you're not going anywhere. You're not moving. Topanga points out that her parents are in the car waiting for her. They're leaving for Pittsburgh. Corey won't accept it. She can't move because they're supposed to be together like they've always talked about. Topanga asks him to just give her a hug and kiss and say goodbye. He defiantly says no, so she does it for him. She says goodbye and that she loves him, and then she walks away. Corey starts to tear up, asking Sean what's happening. Sean's certain it's not over yet. He points to the car. It's going to turn around any second now. They watch the car take off, and Sean keeps making reassuring remarks. But when the car doesn't turn around, Sean wonders aloud, what the hell kind of TV show is this?
Great line.
Would it have ruined the scene for Topanga to at least have said, bye, Sean?
Just, it was a very, it was a very thrown together goodbye.
Yeah. You know, it's very funny that Sean's like, really sorry to say goodbye.
Yeah,
like,
it was great.
We could have kept that going for another couple of lines. Like, she's like, come on, Sean. But it's also like, I'm also just, Corey refusing to kiss her goodbye. Like, what? He's like punishing her for, like, she's supposed to feel bad for not being completely irrational about what's going on. Like,
they're trying to more play the finality of, if he kisses her goodbye, it's real. And then she's
and he's totally in denial.
That could have been funny, but he's being a total, like, he's turning way. It's just like, he's trying to make her feel bad. Like, I'm like, why not just, but there, I don't know. There's a version of this that's funny.
I didn't think that either. Yeah. I didn't think he was trying to make her feel bad. I think he was trying to, it's like, if I don't open my eyes right now, the bad thing in front of me is not actually there. It's a very kid thing, way of doing. So
I know,
if I don't give you this last kiss
for Corey, instead of feeling hurt for, instead of feeling put off by him, I felt for him. I felt for someone who's like, so in denial that I'm just, you know, I know people. Wesley Staples is one of those people. Terrible goodbyes. Doesn't like goodbyes. Won't say goodbye. Doesn't want to give you the hug at the end of Girl Meets World to say, gosh, Wesley, I can't, we'll just leave.
Just disappears.
It's just gone. Just disappears. Right, and you are always, in some ways it can feel like, wow, he must not care. But the truth is, he cares so much
that he doesn't want
to.
He physically
can't do it.
Yeah.
And so I felt for Corey in this, that instead of feeling like, ugh, what a child, I was like, man, that's how I know it's really, this is really hard for him, that he's so in denial, he can't see
I don't think
it.
He was doing it to Topanga.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I guess I wish that the Sean denial was funnier, with like starts in the scene.
Yeah.
I wish that it stayed that light. And I wish, actually, hearing you describe like him closing his eyes and saying, no, it's not happening. Like, there's a way to make Corey's, you know, denial funny and active instead of sort of like intense and like negative and like pissed off. And I was just like, oh, dude, like, you know, and I didn't understand why Topanga doesn't push him more. Like, Topanga should be like, hey, like, it's not actually, you know, something,
because
this is about her emotions too. You know, it's like she's leaving, like, her whole life is getting ruined. And I don't know, like, and I think it could have been funny that she's trying to convince him of the reality and he's trying to convince her of his reality. Like, that could have been funny.
Well, we time lapse a little, still in the Matthews backyard. It's gotten darker, but Corey and Sean are still waiting for their perfect TV show ending. Corey asks his best friend, you know that pain everyone keeps talking about? I think I'm starting to feel it. And then the screen fades to black. And we're in the tag. Corey is still standing outside in the backyard, now all alone, staring at the street. Eric walks up. What's going on? Corey musters out a not much. Eric sniffs around and wonders, it smells good out there. It smells good out here. What is that? Trees? And again, I thought that was a very funny line.
I remember that line, actually. That's the one thing I did when I was like, oh, that's right. This is the tree line.
Wait, it's one of your funniest lines. It's so well delivered.
What is that? Trees?
So
trees?
Funny. Trees? Oh my god! It's also a very Will thing to say.
I know.
You know, that's like the kind. That's like Will's humor in real life too.
Totally.
Very like understated and sort of like
so funny,
ridiculous.
Eric tells him, "That's all right. You'll say goodbye the next time you say hello." He chuckles. "Pittsburgh's not that far. I made the drive last night." Corey didn't realize Eric actually went. Eric assures him, "Oh yeah, drove there, met a couple of girls, told them I drove all the way from Philly. They called me a moron, and here I am."
Here I am.
Eric tells his brother, "I was going to go out and get pizza from Little Tony's, rent some movies. You want to go?" Corey tells him, "No, thanks. He wants to stay right where he is." Where the hell is Little Tony's?
Little Tony's, no Chubbies.
Why don't we ever go to Little Tony's? Why don't we ever go to Little Tony's?
Why are we ever at Little Tony's?
No.
Eric admits, even though he's his big brother, he doesn't know how to protect him from this. Corey simply asks, "Could you just stay here with me?" Eric responds, "Yeah, I'm not going anywhere." And I got teary again.
Wait, hold on.
In real life.
What was, didn't we have a very famous pizza place that we called when Corey and I were doing the betting episode? We were getting, I feel like we had a place that we named multiple times in season two.
Oh, really? I remember La Bougia.
No, there was a place where we're going to order pizza from. And then I think it's also like another kind of, it's like that we talked about this on the podcast. There's like one name and it's not Tony, but it's like this person obviously owned the pizza place and the car auto repair shop. Or it was like a multiple
funny.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. Was it Marco's? Right?
Yeah, there's something, but it's a missed opportunity here that to have a callback to that pizza place.
Is it Vinny?
Vinny.
I can't remember.
Was
it Vinny? Might be Vinny.
All right, Melissa, let us know.
You're the voted in member of the audience. Please, Melissa, let us know. Eric responds, "Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, I got here again." He folds his arms and stares at the street with Corey as "To Be Continued" appears at the bottom of the screen. And then our next episode, season 4, episode 17, A Long Walk to Pittsburgh, part 2. Will originally air on February 14th, 1997, and we will be covering that one next. Wow. I can't believe we're already at this point in season 4.
Yeah. Wait, what episode is it? 17?
Yeah.
What did we do? 22?
22, I think. It's just flying right by.
This is a really good season. It's so packed.
It's amazing.
Yes.
It's a great season. Great season.
Yeah. We were working really hard, and I had no idea.
No.
That was a great season.
All I cared about was my own life at this time.
Like Corey.
Right?
That's the point. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's why it's always about Corey, because that's what you do when you're 16. You care about yourself.
Totally. Thank you all for joining us for this episode of Pod Meets World. As always, you can follow us on Instagram, Pod Meets World Show. You can send us your emails, podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. And we have merch.
But soft, what light through yonder merch breaks?
PodMeetsWorldShow.com will send us out.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production Danielle Romo. Producer and editor Tara Sudbach. Producer Maddie Moore. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon, and you can follow us on Instagram at PodMeetsWorldShow or email us at PodMeetsWorldShow@gmail.com.
When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you.
Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.